good to see some old faces and new faces. Let's pray together, remembering to pray for Joy and her mama, mother. Brother Jerry, would you pray for us, brother?
The most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be able to come together today. Praise your holy name, Father. Recognize your sovereignty and know, Father, that you know our needs before we ever call them. But still, Father, I want to lift up Miss Joy and her mom. Father, pray that you will minister to them according to their needs and according to your will. Father, we ask that you be with Brother Johnny this morning as he brings your word to us, Father. Anoint him, give him the words to say, Father, and give us the ears to hear. Place them in our hearts, Father, as truth and words of our sovereign God and Father. Now be with us, Father, as we continue throughout the day. Be with Brother Wyman as he follows Brother Johnny. And Father, be with this conference throughout the remainder of these services, Father. I pray that you will anoint each speaker, Father, and I pray that your presence will be felt here, and perhaps someone will feel a need to grow closer to our Lord and Savior. All of these things, Father, we ask in the name of our Savior and our Lord.
Amen. Luke chapter 24. I want to pose a question as the title of the message. Why do we preach? Luke 24. Begin reading in verse 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I looked up the word there, preach. To preach means to herald thoroughly, declare, signify. Thus preach is a good word. And in Luke chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but Christ says to a certain man to come, and he had an excuse, and he said, "Come and preach." Preach. It was not an apostle, and it was not in a church situation. So preaching in the New Testament was not limited to the disciples or to the house, and so it is today. A lot of good preaching is not from the pulpit. It's just in life as we go with the gospel. And actually, in the first part of this Luke chapter 24, we see that the first public message of the resurrected Christ was the lady folks. Now, that doesn't give them an excuse to go speaking in tongues and giving the understanding, or teaching or usurping authority over the man in the church. Those two verses are very clear about them being quiet during those two functions in the church. Now, the Holy Ghost being the teacher, Brother Barney, I'd like for us to see that God in His sovereign will has determined that He will use His people to preach the Word. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, when the gospel first went out in mighty power, Brother Rick, it was not the apostles. They were all scattered except the apostles. Then we have a death of Stephen, the conversion of Saul. Then in chapter 11, it picks up again. And they that were all scattered preached. So the preaching of the gospel of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is not limited to church situations and pulpit preaching. It's good preaching all up and down the road. And again, I pose the question, why do we preach? You're good to see our old friend and co-laborer in the gospel, Brother Gene, here. I was on the island of Dominica this year, Brother Williams, and the fellow that owned the guest house where I was at, he's a twofold religious fellow. He got born a Roman Catholic and experienced a new birth by water baptism or regeneration, so-called, but he picked him up another religion. And some people there on the islands telling everyone to get ready because May the 21st, Christ would come, doomsday. And we talked about it a little, and to me, the door's open there. So I began to talk to him about faith in Jesus Christ, repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Well, undaunted and unchecked, he said, I have it figured like this with that British brogue, Brother Barney. When he comes, he will look us over and check us out, and if we have been serious about our religion, it would be okay. And he gave me his reason for that. He had been watching people. And some of the folks that claimed to be some of the best Christians in town were not living as good as some of the other people. And some of the people with a very false religion were living better than some of the preachers that he knew. So he just concluded, none of it mattered anyway if you're just serious about your religion. Well, I began quoting the portion of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 about Christians being persecuted and Christ coming. Let me just read that to you. And he'll execute wrath on evildoers. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. This is the verse the Lord brought out to me that morning talking to that gentleman. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He got up and walked off. But his lady friend sitting there came and wanted to see that in the Scripture. So it is imperative, my brothers and sisters and sinner friends among us, it is imperative that you obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an option here. You can't just pick out your religion and go by it. Christ gave the command. The question, why do we preach? And again, let me insist that you understand, I'm not speaking not even primarily about pulpit preaching, but the witness of the saints going to the gospel. Here in our reading, if you start back in verse 36, we have the evidence, irrefutable evidence that Christ is a crucified, resurrected Messiah. Verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I, handle me and see. For spirit had not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? They gave him a piece of broil fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Christ gave the command here. The message we do have is the resurrected, ruling, reigning King, Lord Jesus Christ. Along with our reading, you notice not only was the command given, but a promise given. Go to Jerusalem, tarry. You'll be endued with power. That's the promise of the Father. The Holy Ghost would come. That's back in John chapter 14. This was the promise of the Father in Joel chapter 2. Now, in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4 and 14 through 18, we see that the young and the old, the men and the women, were given power. Matter of fact, brethren, back in Acts chapter 1, when they were assembled in that upper room, they continued in prayer with the women. So the lady folks are very much involved in the gospel ministry. Here in our reading in verse 50 through 53, it's a very important matter I want to call your attention to. They worshiped. They worshiped. Let me say to you, this is first. Sometime we get the tail wagging the dog or the cart in the front of the horse in this matter about our witness. Our worship is first and supreme. This is my experience, Brother Jerry Sanford. When I worship the Lord in my private devotion and pray for people, I'm quicker to talk to people about God than when I don't prepare myself in worship and prayer. I'm quicker to criticize and make up my mind they don't want to hear anyway and go on my not-so-merry way. They had great joy praising and blessing God. Amen. Let me say it again. Our worship is before our witness. Now, we were talking in the barracks over there, Brother Hull and I, about this up-and-down Christian experience. It's illustrated in Peter's writing in chapter 1. He says, a great heaviness. There's manifold temptations. And that's the Christian experience. But it's not all that. He has a joy unspeakable, full of glory. Can you imagine? Here's a guy who's got great heaviness on him, but he has a joy unspeakable, and God opens the door of witness, opens the door of utterance for him. He ain't sucking his lip and saying, poor old pitiful me. He begins to tell about the goodness and the grace and the glory of God in Jesus Christ. That's just our Christian experience. Now, I'm not trying to get us to think we're schizophrenic. We're not. You're either dead in Adam or alive in Christ. But I'm trying to show you that there are some joy, sometimes of joy, sometimes of great rejoicing, Brother Jack, in our private worship of the Lord. Of course, in the public worship, too. I found out you have to be kind of careful, though, about hollering too loud in the public meeting. Some folks get offended. Friend of mine, Brother John Burks, was preaching at Maranatha one night, and he did get rather vocal. He can do that. And he just stopped, wiped his mouth, fixed his hair, and he said, oh, I'm sorry. I can tell by the look on your face you don't like loud preaching. He said, but I know some of y'all, and I know you like to get out in the woods with a big old long gun, and that thing go, boom! That don't bother you. It's just loud preaching that bothers you. Let me get back to this. Secondly, that's the first point, Sister whoever. Christ gave the command and promised the power, and it comes. His Spirit comes. When the Holy Ghost is come, you shall be witnesses. Secondly, Romans chapter 10. Begin our reading in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So here's a man that's praying for and desiring that his countrymen be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth them, those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? If the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brother Wick Wiseman and I were rejoicing about that truth last night. That's a quote from the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, those that believe on the Lord shall not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. A lot of things in my life I'm ashamed of lately, but I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's another portion of Scripture we flip over. We call a man to the front and insinuate to him he's getting his salvation, gaining his salvation by his praying. But it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can't shut him up. I've actually thought about this. I never have done it, Brother Gary, but I've thought about this. When I'm privileged to be with someone when they call out on the Lord to be saved, I have actually thought about telling them, look, don't you tell a soul this is happening. Don't tell anybody. Now, get my idea from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Tim, you can't be shut up about Christ. He comes in a place down there, I'm supposed to preach, I'm trying to act dignified, and it's a dignified situation. He comes in there bubbling over, testifying about mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. Now, reading on in this, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want us to understand here, why should we preach? It's a great joy, it's an honor, it's a privilege, it's a command to be obeyed. Why should we? Here it is in this reading. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How can a man call out on the Lord Jesus Christ? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? There's no difference. He makes a difference. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The Jew, God in His sovereign mercy has decreed that the gospel will go out to both Jew and Gentile. Verse 4, declaring that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe it. The Jew objected to salvation by faith instead of by the law. Paul has shown that righteousness could not be obtained by the law and that prophets had predicted salvation by faith. But the Jews now object that this salvation was for the Jews only. Yet Paul is preaching it to Gentiles. He declares that it is for the Greek as well as the Jew, as shown in this passage. Further shows that the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon Him, whatever race, whatever creed, whatever color. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ penetrates. Other than a meeting not long ago in our little city, I used to call it a one horse town. This is being taped. I better not call it a dead horse town there on tape. But I was in a meeting there, and I had the honor and the privilege of closing in prayer. And I said, Lord, for the most part, we here, around here, we are not going forward. We're going backward. Our life before You, we're not advancing and knowing You. We're drawing back. And that's not the life of the Christian. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but believe to the saving of our souls. Help us. Help us in this town to be faithful with Your gospel. Got through and got out before I got to the back door. One of the leading fellows in town said, Brother Carter, would you make a speech and lead in prayer the 4th of July meeting? And I said, I'll tell you, I ain't much at making speeches, but I'd like to preach. So pray for me. This came up one time before and the Lord delivered me from it. But it looks like this time it may be my awkward joy to be a part of that. And then, of course, the dedication of the new Veterans Memorial there in our little town. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, to call on the Lord implies that the true God shall be approached in worship. This is not a flippant thing. That there shall be something more than saying, Lord, Lord, and recommending ourselves to the Lord. The language whenever used implies coming to the Lord and calling on Him in His appointed way. I had the wonderful joy of going with Brother Bob Jennings to the university campus several times, but one time went out, and my message to that bunch was, I'm an ambassador for Christ. He'll make peace with you on His terms, not yours. Your terms don't matter. You go to hell with your terms trying to approach God. We come to God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what calling on the name of the Lord is. It's prophesied, especially by Brother Joel and others in the Old Testament. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The passage quoted from the prophet shows that the Gentiles also were to have the gospel of Christ's salvation. So the duty of preaching to them is shown. They could not call on the Lord without faith. But there could be no faith in the Lord unless they heard of him. And since knowledge is an element of faith, they could not hear the gospel story until it was preached to them. So the preaching to the Gentiles was essential to carry out the purpose of God and the command. I just read to you in Luke, but Matthew and Mark close out their books the same way. Mark makes a statement that I really love. It delivered me from following signs and wonders. He commanded them to go and preach, and they went and preached the word, and God confirmed the word with signs following. Amen. Signs following the gospel is all right, but saints following signs and wonders is one of the most dangerous things going on in this generation, and it has happened on our watch, brethren. But how shall they preach except they be sent? Those must go out to them who have the knowledge. Those must go out who have the knowledge of the gospel. So it's needful that they go out. And let me insist you understand again, I'm not just talking about preachers and pulpit preaching. Remember, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. They were all scattered except the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem, praying, fasting, studying the Word of God, trying to see if God had showed them exactly what was going on. And did. Matter of fact, at that big argument in Acts chapter 15, Brother Peter stood up and they were talking about the Gentiles just being saved and worshiping the Holy Ghost coming up on them like they did on the Jews. And Peter gets up and makes this surprising statement concerning salvation. He says, if we, the Jew man, will be saved, we will be saved even as they. Now, to me, that seems like it's a reverse. He should have said, in my limited understanding, salvation of the Jew first. He should have said, if they will be saved, they'll be saved like us. But he doesn't. If the Jew man will be saved, he will be saved the same as the Gentile. If the Gentile will be saved, it's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard the insistence that we keep our testimony. Build that wall of testimony. We're not trying to keep people out, although the Christian religion is an exclusive religion. It's not all inclusive. We heard that from Brother Williams last night. This God that we serve is sovereign. He chooses. Well, let me go on with this. Let me say to you as gently and tenderly as I can. I said this the other day in the Primitive Baptist Church. Brother Barney was there. I said last year when I was there, the doctrine of election is not the power of God unto salvation. The gospel message. Now, if you're going to be established in any area of your life, it's going to be connected to God, and that's called predestination, election, foreknowledge, sovereignty. Pick you a good word. Three of them are Bible words, and the other one just means God's God. And the black brother would say all the time, He is God. But I said to them, the sinners are not commanded to come in here. But we are commanded to go and tell. So it's not an option. I can't make up my mind in a situation that here's this smart aleck young Jew man named Saul of Tarsus. He don't care about the gospel. Therefore I won't say anything to him. I can't make up my mind about a little pimple faced punk with a loud mouth. And don't tell him about Jesus Christ. That same loud-mouthed, pimple-faced punk that don't... Let me get back to this message. Listen, we are commanded. We want to. It's our heart's desire. I'm not talking about horning in on people's conversations. Sometimes in a given situation, God doesn't have a word for that people. But that's the exception rather than the rule. Most of the time, in just about every situation, soon the door's open. For instance, I was down Dominica this year and then went back in with the Carib Indians many times, but this time to give them some money to make a substantial start on the church building to worship in. And here come a lady to visit. Well, no, she came to quiz me. She didn't come to visit with me. And the pastor introduced her as the chief leading lady among the tribe. And he gave this definitive statement about her. He said, if you want something to be successful, you go see her. If you do not, it may not succeed. So I took that to mean she's the chief leading lady among the tribe. And she says to me, so I must find out, what is your purpose here among the tribe? If a fella can't testify there, he hadn't got it in him. We do have a purpose, brother and sister. We have a supreme purpose, brother and sister. We have an agenda. Listen, we have the old gospel for modern man. We have what this dead, damn, dying and deserving humanity needs. It's the message of salvation and mercy in Jesus Christ. And God opened a door of utterance. Many of you have prayed. I've asked you to. Pray that God will open doors. God will open my mouth and God will open understanding and hearts so that they could hear. Someone must go with the gospel. Someone will believe God's elect will believe. Listen to Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, but believed. Let me tell you something. And I've been on campaigns and several different journeys. We do not have to perform. We do not have to produce. All we do, Sister Renelle, is proclaim. Just tell people about the Lord. The demonized man, Legion, he called himself, he wanted to go with Christ. But Christ said, no, you go back and publish what I've done. And he did that. That's our life. That's our life. Now, lastly, God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The emphasis was not on water baptism, but to preach the gospel. I like to have fun with this and with my United Pentecostal family. We can't preach the gospel without overemphasizing water baptism. As a matter of fact, water baptism cannot produce what it pictures, as with communion. It cannot. God has chosen. Now, it's foolishness to those that perish in their sins. A Jew man died for me? That's what the Dominican man said. Not just a Jew man. The man Christ Jesus. The virgin born, only begotten Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel. God with us. No, not just a Jew man, but a Jew man. Salvation to the Jew first. So it's written in the Bible. It's unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the last part of that is, you see, you call in, brethren. God does this among us little low ones, Brother Rick, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Christ is our wisdom, our sanctification. I'm just picking out a few words out of that 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, Romans chapter 1. I want to just brief this also. It was read and preached eloquently about last night. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Definite article now, not one power, a power, the power. Now, it is not the power of the Pope. It is not the power of the preacher. Now, I really believed in so-called gospel regeneration before I ever knew anything about anything but I was saved. I really thought if I could get some of those guys to just stand still long enough and just listen to me, they'd be saved. I went back to the pool hall and the domino part of the gambling hall, if you will. I went in there and greeted the fella that owned the place, and he said, man, I'm glad to see you back. Where you been? I said, I've been saved. The Lord saved me, and he stiffened up. He's tough. I'm scared of him. But he just stiffened up, and his eyes got big. And I said, I wanted to come back in here and talk to these fellas about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, help yourself. And he run backwards and hit his head on the wall. We're talking about the gospel. It's the power of God, not the power of the preacher. It's not the power of the people. And it is not a powerful program whereby we enlist members into the church. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is also the power of God to righteousness. It's revealed from faith to faith. That's from faith in Christ to faith in Christ. And then in the gospel, brethren, this is very neglected in this day. The wrath of God is revealed. Now the rest of Romans chapter 1 talks to us about sin, personal sin. We hammer on the homosexuals and ought to, but we leave out the ones that are disobedient to children. It's in the same paragraph. We jump on the queers and the kids eating the corners off the songbooks, and we don't say much about that. You can't tell them anything. Mama can't tell them anything. Daddy doesn't give up. The preacher don't know what he's going to do. Now the policeman makes a try, and I got a three-time loser who used to be a next-door neighbor to me. He would not be corrected. Now in the Old Testament, they had a remedy for that. Take that chap outside of town and stone him till he's dead. You say, boy, I preached that in California. And I said, that's severe. Well, that's how important it is to God that you not be a rebel. Don't rebel against the parents. Don't rebel against the Word of God. Don't rebel against God. Humble down. One day you will. Your knee will bow. Your tongue will confess Jesus Christ. Listen, someone will go. The wrath of God is shown in the gospel. Listen, do you want to know what God thinks about sin? Look at the cross. That's what God thinks about sin. He spared not His only begotten Son. And don't think you're going to just squeak by and slip in. God is really serious about sin. He poured out His wrath upon His only begotten Son of God. Christ sanctifies and washes His church with the Word. Why should we just keep on with this thing about the Word? Ephesians chapter 5. Don't y'all tell Miss Birdie that I'm doing a lot of briefing here. She'll fuss at me. Miss Joy will for sure. Ephesians chapter 3. Grace is given, Paul says, that he should preach the unsearchable riches in Christ. In verse 12, it's in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The preaching of the Word of God, the message of Christ, is for the perfecting of the saints, for the building up of their faith, calling them into the unity of the faith. But I wanted to call your attention to verse 16. So that we can supply. Look at it. From whom the whole body. Let me back up verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I think this is the power in the church that Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians. They came behind in no gift. They had all wisdom and utterances. Their confirmation and grace were not questioned. But in chapter, they had people being baptized. Chapter 4, he's going to come down and see the power. Not the speech, but the power. Well, what is the power? It's the saints living the Word of God for the glory of Jesus Christ. If the brothers were here, Brother Barney, we might sing, they'd let me run along with them. I may want them to sing this at my funeral. Dear little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Dear little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why? Why would you let it shine? So people will notice me. Yeah. Why? That they glorify God in the day of visitation. That they may see our good works and glorify God. All of us have got a taint of pride. It came with the breeding. Apostle Paul tells on himself in two times in one verse, brother, lest I be exalted above measure. Anyway, his personal doings wasn't what was he was talking about. It was God's working in him he could get proud of. But why would I want it to be proud? No, I wanted to be humble. But I wanted to get it in a way I could be proud I was humble. It don't come like that, people. As we humble down to God and obey His Word, walking in the fire, The gold tried in the fire, following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God uses. Stadium evangelism, mass producing Christians has never been really that effective. It's just a sprinkling of those. One place back in the mountains in the Antilles, they came in and had an Americanized crusade and advertised that 118 people were saved. The two preachers I know personal went in there trying to find them, even had some names written down. And one of them said to me, "Brother Carter, I'm afraid someone has lied. Either the person who wrote the name down is lying, or the person gave them someone else's name, because I go see them. And no, they're not coming to Christ." He said, "Of the 118, we could only baptize two." That's good. Praise God. He said, "You're telling me something." I said, "Well, two came. Praise God." He said, "Why deceive the other 116 with an experience? Just live the gospel in front of them." Let me say to us again, he's loaded. You don't have to perform. You don't have to produce. Just proclaim. People, we cannot be defeated. We cannot be a failure if we just go with the gospel. Now, God does this for His saints. In chapter 5, verse 25, we're still talking about sharing the message of Jesus Christ. Let me say to myself here, you don't have to listen to this, let me say to myself, all of my preaching, all of my church policy, all the politics, all the doctrine, everything that I do and that we do as a church, if it does not call men to Christ, we have failed miserably. If we call people to our little plan or our little pet doctrine or our little policy, we have failed. We appoint men to Jesus Christ that they might be saved. And if in all of our church, teaching, preaching, and testifying, whatever, if it's not washing the saints, we fail. Chapter 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." I got to read verse 28. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." This is what happens to us, brother. We come in, we hear someone either testifying or we come under some preaching and the word of God comes to us, we've been cleansed. That's what Christ prayed in John 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true." Why should we preach? That we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Why should we be ready to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you? I just came back from a mission trip, what we call a mission trip, a journey for the Lord. And I was in the airport at Miami. And I was going around, fixing to go down a stairs or escalator or something, and up come this fellow, little white beard and a white suit, and had a pretty stick in his hand. It was the original Colonel Harlan Sanders, the Kentucky Fried Chicken Colonel. That's who it was. And he asked me, "How are you doing, young man?" And I had it in my heart, but I did not give a witness of Christ. And I've always regretted it. I don't like telling on myself, especially around this crowd, because some of y'all will go tell it somewhere else. Sinner, it's not an option here now. It's just this series. I read to you, starting out, I read to you, he's going to come back and execute wrath on those who obey not the gospel. It's just that serious. Saint, God in His sovereign will has determined to use His people. You know something? He could use a donkey bray and He did on Balaam. He could use a rooster crow and He did on Peter. But He uses us, brother, to testify and to share the message of salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. I hope that after last night we'd understand there's a testimony to be maintained. Thank you, brother. It's important. And we should be the ones that tell on ourselves when we are ashamed of the gospel. We ought to tell God, I'm just sorry. And I don't like it like that. And be quick. Be the quick one. You know what I used to do when get in a situation, here's an old boy claim to be saved. You know what I'd do? I'd wait for him to bring it up. I quit doing it. I started asking. A fella drove up my yard the other day. Had a little deal going on. I said, I heard you was in church. You got in church. Tell me about it. And he told me about it. He just got in church. Matter of fact, he's really hunting for a preacher just in case he wanted to marry the woman he's living with. Checking around. A church man. But he may be one of God's elect. And I didn't want to wait on him, and when he left, wish I'd have said something. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, we bow to you, acknowledging that this is what you have decreed and determined and purposed and gave the power that it be successful, that as we go around in our lives, being quick, being the witness, being the living witness, and being the one living it, not just a hypocrite about it, telling folks about your Son and our Savior. We ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.